Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Yes, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is that bread of God which came down from heaven some 2,000 years ago to offer salvation, forgiveness of sin, and eternal life to all who would put their faith and trust in him and accept him as Savior. And it's illustrated by the word bread. Bread, or many countries use rice as a staple. And bread and rice, the Lord says, I'm the bread of life. He says, if you partake of me, I'll give you eternal life. Just as physical bread, physical rice, gives a person physical life, so the Lord Jesus Christ offers eternal life to all who will believe in him, to all who will by faith reach out, accept him, and invite him to come into their lives. Just as you receive a piece of bread from someone who offers you a piece of fresh bread that's just been baked. Oh, listen, my wife used to make fresh bread when she was able to before she became so ill. She would bake fresh bread, and oh, it tasted so good when it'd come out of the oven, and we'd slice it and put a little butter on it and eat of it. Oh, it just nearly melted in our mouth. It tasted so good, and it was delicious. So, as that physical bread was good to our physical body, so, beloved, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you by faith reach out and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life and forgive you for your sin, oh, listen, he hears that cry of the sinner, and he will come into that individual's life and give them the gift of salvation and eternal life. Actually, he sends his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come into their life and to accept that individual as their Savior. And the book of Romans, chapter 8, calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ. In Romans, chapter 8, and beginning with verse 9, But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see, beloved, the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, said, You must be born again. And in verse 6, he said, That which is born of the flesh, which is physical birth. And then he explained about spiritual birth. He said, That which is born of the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, is spirit, the spiritual part of man. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell the spiritual part of man. Remember, beloved, our diagram about man. Man is a triune being, as we have previously seen in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, I believe it is, and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. There we read, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And the word holy is W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning the whole person. And he says, And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in Genesis 1:26, God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And God created man as a triune being with a spirit, a soul, and a body. The spiritual part of man made like the Holy Spirit. The soulical part of man made like God the Father, who loves mankind, who shows forth emotion. Remember, the soul is made up of the mind, the thinking part of the brain, the emotions, which have to do with our feelings and our will, that with which we make choices and decisions. And so the soul, representing God the Father, and then the body, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we see that man is made a triune being in the likeness and image of Almighty God, with spirit, soul, and body. And when an individual accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit moves into our spirit to give us that gift of salvation and eternal life. He cleanses our spirit from all sin with the blood of Christ. For we read in the Scriptures that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Remember that old song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. His precious blood, which was shed there on the cross for the sins of mankind. We read in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And it's the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin, beloved. The precious blood of Jesus, in verse 7 of 1 John 1:7, we read, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. And the Word of God makes this clear in many, many other different scriptures, that it's the blood of Jesus Christ which cleanses us from sin and makes us pure and clean and holy and acceptable in the sight of God. And so the blood of Christ was shed for the sins of mankind, that whosoever would believe in the Lord Jesus should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that our sins are forgiven. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, we read these words, verse 25, "Whom God hath sent forth," speaking of the Lord Jesus. Well, let's read verse 24, "being justified freely." And the word justified means just as if I'd never sinned. It means that we're made pure and righteous and holy by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, being justified freely by His grace, His undeserved favor, through the redemption, the price that Jesus paid to redeem and buy us back to God, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, or a mercy seat, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, through the faith in His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And the picture is given going back to the Old Testament of the mercy seat. The mercy seat, which was in the most holy place in the tabernacle. The mercy seat was the place where once a year the high priest would go in with blood, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat, with the cherubims hovering over the mercy seat. And that was the part of the tabernacle where the holiness of God was manifest, and where God dwelt among the children of Israel. And that was the place where the pillar of cloud came up, a pillar of fire by day, and a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. The children of Israel had a night light. That pillar of fire lighted up their camp at night, and in the daytime it was a pillar of cloud. And that was the earthly dwelling place of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God, there in the midst of the children of Israel. And there on the mercy seat, where the blood was sprinkled for the sins of the children of Israel. And so it pictured the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, where the blood of Jesus Christ was offered for the sins of mankind. For the blood, the life of the flesh, is in the blood. We're told in the book of Leviticus. And you know as well as I do that if a person bleeds, if they lose all the blood out of their body, they die. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so the blood represents the life that Jesus gave for your sins and for mine. And so the old song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And so, beloved, that's what it means when we talk about receiving Christ as Savior. It's believing in the fact that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He arose from the grave. And when He died, He shed His life's blood there on the old rugged cross. First, He was beaten with the cat of nine tails by the Roman soldiers, and a crown of thorns was placed upon His head. And He lost much of the blood when He was beaten, and then He was placed on the old rugged cross. And there, hanging on the cross, a spear was driven into His side, and blood and water came out. The blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Many lambs in the Old Testament were offered for the sins of the children of Israel, and it was a picture of God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, who one day would come and die for the sins of the world, shedding His life's blood, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so, beloved, if you will cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, You died for my sin. Come into my life. Forgive me for my sin. I believe You died, were buried, and arose from the grave. And I repent and turn from my sin and the old ways to follow You, Lord Jesus, and to live for You." He'll hear that prayer, beloved, and His Holy Spirit will move into your spirit to grant you the gift of eternal life. Till next time, goodbye.